On this episode of the Culture Shock Podcast, I speak to the founder of Tally, who's aiming to provide support for individuals looking after their mental wellness. So without further ado, let's get into it. Hey everybody, welcome to the Culture Shock Podcast. My name is Dini Adeboye and I have my special guest today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Lara Senna. I'm the founder of Tally. Tally is a mental wellness startup, which I founded last year, 2019. Yeah. And it's basically, we've come far so quickly. But what we do is we try to connect people going through emotional distress to other people who've like experienced similar life situations as they have.
Yeah, and that's amazing because obviously mental wellness and health is so important. It's a buzzword that everyone likes to throw in just because, you know, we need to look after each other. But in the last 5 years, 10 years, it's kind of been this thing where we have to sort of be mindful of that. So is that something that you're very sort of personally attached to in terms of looking after your wellness and health and stuff like that?
I became very, very interested in mental health and mental wellness because I went through like a situation a few years ago where I felt like my mental health took a big dip. And I was looking for something like Tally. I couldn't find something that fulfilled the purpose I was looking for. The idea basically just lingered in my mind from 2016 until like last year, 2019, where I was like, right, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
It was basically over watching an episode of like Silicon Valley. And then everybody always asks me what episode
But
I can't remember what episode, but I remember it was the episode where the main character went into the, I think it was, he went into the, was it the dentist or the doctor's office? And he said, you know what, there's something wrong with me. And it was like, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just like stressed or something like that. And I was like, oh, I wouldn't be stressed. I'm joking. Like, it seems like a good idea to just like run. And I had a lot of time on my, I had a lot of time available because the project I was working on basically all came to an end, and I was like just sitting around and thought,
That's cool. I mean, so you were working obviously full time, and then you had this as a side hustle, kind of just
ambition to do. I'm still working full time. The difficult thing with starting up is it's kind of hard to like take a clean break and then just focus, except you've got a lot of money and you've got some investors ready to like drop coins. So I'm still working full time and then I'm pulling this along, but obviously increasingly, I think my full-time job isn't that time consuming as it used to be. Yeah. And I'm able to spend a lot more time building my startup Tally. And that's a blessing. But then for anybody that really wants to do it, a lot of times, like, I know one of the topics we're even going to speak about in the coming weeks is like failed goals. Yeah. And one thing, because I've always been like business orientated, because I come from like a very business orientated family. Mm. And I've tried to do like loads of different things in the past, and sometimes they just never like really pick up. And I just always found it difficult to like juggle full time and then work. But then in terms of Tally, I think the amazing thing with this is because there's a team of us. Yeah. It's not just me carrying it by myself.
No, that's amazing, because so many times you hear people saying, you know, I'm frustrated, I'm going to leave the workforce and try to go for my goals, which is amazing and it's inspiring. But the real aspect of life obviously kicks in, and you just like, you're making short-term goals because you have to obviously get quick cash to make it happen. But at least you've got some sort of a balance.
Some people do that. I mean, I've got a friend who, well, she was made redundant and she just never went back to work. And some people, like, if you're ready to tough it out, you can do it. And I know that in the past, like at least 2 years, there were points in time where I felt like, you know what, I'm just going to tough it out. Mm. I'm just going to take a clean break from work and I'm going to tough it out. But then you have to also sacrifice. Everything's a sacrifice, right? If you're ready to make that sacrifice, let go of that car, let go of that flat, or, you know, go renting or go sleeping on someone's sofa for some time, you can make it happen.
Yeah, it's all about the mindset. But at least you're self-aware in terms of what's best for you. And obviously, you've made it happen still, which is still amazing. And it gives our listeners some hope, you know, you can still work on something whilst working on your day job.
I guess so.
In terms of building your team, how was that? Because obviously this is new to you, but how did you form the team and how do you find so many good talents to work with you?
The team has been amazing. So the team is actually a combination of people that, so we started, the very first person that was on my team was actually my brother.
Nice.
My brother has experience working in like the startup industry with like with crowdfunding companies, and he's also got a legal background.
That's good.
So it was like a perfect person to start with. It was the first one that really bought into the idea. The second person on the team is we met at a startup weekend, a startup weekend competition, where we went to at Lancaster. You know, well, Techstars do the startup weekend, and we went to one, which we won, which was amazing.
Hey, well done.
And then we met Sergio, who's part of our team. And so that's the second person. And after the startup weekend, I think what I remember doing is we wanted to like have a first interaction event. So I thought to myself, what people do I have in my life that I know actually have a passion for mental health? Mm. And I thought about these people, and these were my friends, but these were not necessarily like the closest friends or like, but it was just people that I had around in my life. And I thought about two main people. I thought about Kane and I thought about Rashid. Mm. And then I literally just, I set up meetings to meet them up at coffee shops, and I just told them, you know, I've been thinking about this idea, I've been working on it, we took this to a competition, we won, and I think we would actually work very well together. And they literally like, yeah, it's a cool idea.
Awesome.
And they bought into the idea, and they've been part of the team like really since December. And then the next people to join the team, we've got a few more university students because we've used a Santander internship kind of scheme that kind of provides you with interns. Nice. That are paid, which is really cool. So we've got a few more interns on the team. And then we've also got my sister as well, who's got like background as a product manager on the team as well. So it's kind of a combination of like, we're a family really, combination of close acquaintances, family, and like new interns who have also like become family as well. And then also just sourcing out for people, reaching out to people through networks, telling them what I'm doing. And we've also got Corianne, who works with us and does like our social media and stuff, which is really growing quickly.
Yeah, that's amazing. And just talking about your network, you have obviously, you know, it's a wealth of networks in terms of who you obviously came in contact with and helped build your business.
Yeah.
Which is very fortunate, because a lot of people are like trying to obviously figure that out and then having to overstretch or just kind of overpromise certain things. So that's a really good blessing to have. But anyone who's listening, what's the sort of best way to sort of network around, you know, ideas and getting people involved?
You know, in terms of like building, do you mean in terms of building your team, or do you mean like in terms of like just networking in general?
They're both actually, yeah.
In terms of building your team, I find that trust is quite an important thing. Because you want to get people that you trust and people you know that would it's not just my brand anymore, it's our brand now, right? Yeah. People that would literally actually work their socks off. Just as much as you will. So trust is a big thing. And then another thing that I always find, right, especially when I'm working with people, I think attitude is the most important thing. Sometimes it's not even about like being an expert and being a professional at what you do. I mean, that does take you places, but especially when you're starting up and you don't have any money to pay people.
Yeah.
Right. Those professionals are just looking at you like, well. They're looking at you like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. So you actually really want people that are willing to learn, are passionate about what you're doing, are willing to learn and like are willing to do whatever it takes to make it a success.
Yeah.
And I think it's the attitude that actually is more important. So just getting yourself people that actually are willing to learn with you, because as a founder, I'm learning every day, right? Especially like every single day I'm learning. Like today, there was a new thing I learned and I was just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, not another fire, right? So you're learning every day. I think the most important thing is just getting people you trust on your team and you know that I've got really good work ethic.
Yeah.
As well as a positive vibe. Positive vibe is so important. I cannot overstress that.
Yeah.
In terms of networking, I would say, I have a funny way of looking at networking. Like sometimes it's good to go and know people, and some people are natural, like really good at networking. I wouldn't say I'm that kind of person who's like really good at networking. My brother is probably one of those people that's very, very good at networking. Mm-hmm. I'm more of a like, go and find the person where you need the person kind of person. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the thing is, I'll probably know one person that knows that person. And so I do network. I'm part of a lot of different like networks, especially right now. But I think also don't overbeat yourself trying to like network and network, network. But because when you're working on something that you believe in, go out and find them when you need them, and they will also find you when you need them. I don't know. It just works weird.
Yeah. I was going to say it's like the law of attraction in a weird way.
It is like the law of attraction. Like people you need will find you, and you will find yourself in these circles where there will be a surplus of people that you need, and there will be somebody that knows somebody that can assist you in one way or the other.
Yeah, I was going to talk about, since we're talking about a bit about law of attraction, I'm not like a heavy subscriber, but I kind of see in my day to day as well, like when you have a vision in your mind and you obviously go for it, and then somehow it just all kind of connects. And
yeah, I say that also because I'm a woman of faith. One thing I always say is like, sometimes it's just like you start, you don't know where you're going to, and it just like the pebbles, there's like a path you can just like walk. And so, yeah, I think just work hard. And one thing I remember saying, because sometimes when you're networking with people, and this is the part of networking that I find, especially when you're in that position where you're trying to like bring an idea to life and you know, oh my gosh, that guy's amazing. It does this. He can really help with something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you haven't done the work, I always believe like do the work and they will come.
Yeah.
I really believe in that, because sometimes there's the pressure to you meet somebody at a seminar and there's this pressure to like keep up with them so they don't lose contact with you, and you feel like you always want to say I just continuously make that push that. But I always just say and believe that I can make that contact, let it go, we meet each other, I'm just going to go and do my work, because my work will speak for itself.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. You would come back to me. You would have to come back to me and say, hey, Lara, we met at this place. And if it's meant to be, it will be.
Yeah, yeah. 100%. Yeah. I think when you look at society, and you know, as it is, a lot of times it's like, oh, because you go to education, then you go to the workforce, it's like,
yeah,
you kind of have to stand out, that's the word. And right. You have to obviously overreach, oversell, which is... Mm-hmm. It's part of the game, but at the end of the day, you're trying to get the work done.
Yeah.
Sometimes you feel like the results are not there, but when it's your own passion project, it's kind of like, nah, I live by this, so it's easier to sort of communicate that, and then it just kind of comes to you. Yeah.
Which is
amazing. But since you're now a founder, how's that in terms of navigating and firefighting and so forth?
Sorry, you mean how is firefighting?
Yeah, and just like handling the sort of expectations of earning a team.
I think someone asked me a question and said, what part of it do I like the most? And I said, working with the team.
Yeah.
Just because, especially at Tally, we're very real. Like, at the beginning of each meeting, we start with a check-in and we end with a check-out. And in the check-in, it's personal. So it's not like check-in to do with work. It's like check-in to do with how are you feeling. And what the kind of culture we have is, I'm able to say, guys, I'm so tired today. I'm so stressed. I'm feeling this way. And they kind of empathize with me. So I don't always have to be this perfect person or this perfect founder and have everything together. Sometimes I just leave through like my team members, really, because they're just so amazing. Like, I remember I was so stressed, especially before. So we do Tally Talks, right? And Tally Talks are these talks we do every Saturday, 11 a.m. And we talk about things around mental health. Very interesting. If anyone wants to join, check out our website, tallyapp.com, and sign for a Tally Talk. And so when the Black Lives Matter thing, movement started, when George Floyd died, that week I was so stressed. Like, I was so stressed out. And I remember we were having a meeting talking about how we would facilitate a Tally Talk around the subject around racism, because I felt a lot of people were saying words around me which just sounded like words like drained, words like defeated, words like exhausted. So I just felt a lot of people were tired, and I felt tired as well. And I remember that meeting when we're talking about how we're gonna do everything, and I literally just had to keep quiet. I was just like, and everybody in the meeting, they literally just went on, and because everyone's so passionate about what we do.
Yeah.
I was just like, I'm so proud of all, like, the Tally team, just because, like, sometimes I'm okay to just keep quiet and I don't have to lead it. Like, key people in the team are, like, leaders. And so they're able to, like, pick up where I leave off, really.
Yeah.
So sometimes I can be real. So when it's, like, too much, I'll just close my laptop and put off my phone, turn on Netflix, or just sleep.
Yeah.
Just sleep. Sometimes sleep just does it. Sometimes I just sleep, yeah.
Yeah. It's important because obviously this is your life and how you live it and how you manage it, it's on you. And especially the fact that you're still managing your team, you have to obviously take care of yourself. But I love the idea of your culture in your business, that you look after each other, you check in with one another. How do you think organizations should sort of do that for each of their employees as well?
Yeah, I think, you see, one thing when it came to me, like, building a company that I founded, one thing that was so important to me was culture, company culture, because I've worked at several different organizations that the company culture was so bad, especially when you have a blame culture. So one thing I always tell all my team members is, if for any reason, you know, you can't do something, or you're stressing out and you feel like you can't tell me, or you can't tell someone else, that person's doing something wrong. So if you can't tell me, I'm doing something wrong, because you should be able to say, Lara, I can't do this. Or you should be able to say, if it was Kane, I can't do this. Or Kane, I need a bit of assistance. Or Kane, this is what's going on in my day-to-day life. Even though we're a virtual team, at some point we will have an office and we'll be able to, like, work together.
Yeah.
But so that culture is quite important. And I think there are different things in place, especially with, like, employees or CRS, CSR, corporate social responsibility, that can be done. Even with Tally, what we're trying to do is work with a lot of different corporate companies and facilitate Tally Talks for them and create those safe spaces where employees can actually talk about things that are bothering them. And, you know, sometimes you feel like you can't voice up, especially if, like, the culture is very, like, choking, or you feel it's choking and you can't voice off. So we create safe spaces where you can actually talk about, discuss topics around your mental health. And you can do so anonymously.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think I was speaking in one of my last podcasts just about the Black experience, and especially within the workforce. And then, like, the more times I kind of thought about it, it's like, some of us face imposter syndrome. which is is a real thing. And I had imposter syndrome for a while. Found my sort of groove in terms of what I was good at, and then obviously I kind of went into it. But there's so much expectations of trying to be someone that you're not, just to sort of obviously fill a void. What's your take on it in terms of, you know, imposter syndrome and just the workforce in general?
Trying to be somebody you're not just because you're also trying to be ambitious, right?
Yeah.
I feel like people that are not ambitious don't really get that imposter syndrome issue. And the way I kind of navigate it is to just be self-aware of myself, right? Because sometimes whenever I'm in rooms and wherever I found myself, I always just remind myself. Sometimes I might find myself in a room where there are loads of different people and we're all talking, and I might just feel like, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough to be here. But then I look around, I'm like, most times I'm very, very well qualified to be in the room, and sometimes even more qualified than the people that are so much more confident in themselves.
That's true.
So I always just remember myself, like, all those student finance that I ain't paying with, you know? Some of these people don't have no student finance because they didn't even go that far in education. So you have to have confidence in yourself. You have to be confident in yourself. And also just remind yourself that there's a reason you're in this room. There's a reason you're in this room, and don't get scared of asking like questions. Don't get scared of challenging people. And also like be who you want to be. Start being who you want to be right now. And it's not even fake it till you make it. You're speaking it into life. You're walking it into life. Have confidence in yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's great to hear it from you as well, especially the fact that you're a Black female and obviously, you know, founded a company, but also being in the workforce for quite some time. And it's encouraging, because so many times, if you don't believe in yourself, like you said, you've gone through this journey anyways, and now it led you to that point, and now you're questioning yourself. It is weird when you really look at it from that avenue. But so many times you always see someone else doing bigger than you, and you're just like, oh, they're going to judge me for where I am. But
I just realized, and sometimes when I speak to people and the way they talk about me, and like especially like when I've had conversations, I'm just like, wow, is that me? That's me. But I just have to believe, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I put in so much work. I've been working since, right? I've been working since, and I just, yeah, that's me. Don't let it get to you, but, you know,
shake it off.
If any time you don't, you know, you have to have people like that around you as well, people that gas you up.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
people that gas you up. It's no point. Yeah,
remind you why, because you would have those moments as well, right? So just have those friends that gas you up. Like I have my friends. I've got my friend Mariam, and she's the founder of a luxury brand that basically is really big on sustainability.
That's cool.
So I just have I call her and we have a conversation, and she gasses me up very well. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, and then I go into the room. So you'd have those moments of self-doubt, especially as a person of color. Sometimes you would rethink things, but just to remind yourself, a lot of us are often book-wise a lot more qualified, you know, done a lot of more work, and we've put in a lot of work. Our parents have put in a lot of work as well. So put your head up, like.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't
wear a crown with your head down.
I'm taking that quote now.
That room,
I like that quote. I like that quote because I think, I'm not going to dive into it a bit more, but I think that's a nice way to kind of sum up how you should look at yourself in the mirror. And just, you know, obviously, for anyone who's listening, like, it's good to have people around you who are cheering for you, but also keep it real. Like, not mess you up to the point where you're delusional. You know,
it's
that balance as well. You know,
In
terms of Tally as a sort of platform, so obviously you call in and there's different subject matters each week. How do you choose the subjects? Is it just like a sort of decision making process, or do you guys kind of have a creative process of it?
So we've got a team that basically focuses on kind of building Tally Talk. And what we try to do it, we try to keep the topics very relevant as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with Tally Talk, although we're doing it right now every Saturday, we hope to do them a lot more, especially when we like get our secure platform, which we're crowdfunding for. It would mean that a lot more people, especially our listeners, can also do Tally Talks on different subjects. So at the moment, we kind of go follow the trend in terms of what people are speaking about. We try to make them timely. And also we just think about, we've got a team that basically brainstorms like topic we should do each week.
Okay, that's dope. And then in terms of getting people to join in and listen, how's that in terms of marketing? Is that being something that's easy, or has it been like word of mouth? How's that going?
it's been, I think one of the things I started doing is I started exhausting like all my contacts on like WhatsApp. I bet a lot of people have blocked me, and every time I'm just like, oh gosh, I know that's funny, but I'm just like, you know what, you have to sacrifice something for the dream. You gotta sacrifice that, So marketing's been, it's been a learning curve, and it's still a learning curve. Like today I was just talking about, because now we have an identity talk, an identity Tally Talk that takes place at 10 a.m. And this is all around self-awareness and figuring out your identity, to do with emotional, spirituality, to do with physical as well, your physical identity. And we're partnering with a company called ID, which is founded by Lati Dubey.
Yeah.
A really amazing lady, and that goes on at 10 a.m. And today I was just saying, okay, it's really difficult. How do we navigate people that always used to only a call at 11, and then get them to also know that there's a call at 10 a.m.? And I've just been brainstorming like different things we can do and how we can. So yeah, we need to get it together, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Listen, I understand the whole marketing thing.
Obviously,
with this podcast, you're like, okay, you want to kind of let people know, but then, I don't want to spam people. It's like your personal identity is now something that you have to share with your business.
Yeah.
It becomes like, oh, why am I getting spammed this? But it's like, no, this is the part of who I am. I want to obviously share with everyone.
Yeah, I mean, there's this quote that I really love, and it's like, there are two things. There's a sacrifice anyways. It's either you sacrifice for the dream or you sacrifice the dream. So you just gotta choose wisely what you want to do. And you know, at this point, like for me, this is something I'm very passionate about, and everybody just know. Fuck me.
Hey, you have it on record, right? It's not something that's bad intentions. This is part of the dream making process, you know.
Yeah.
The podcast helps, because I feel like every decision you make from a business or just from a marketing standpoint, it's kind of leading, like you said, there's pebble steps. So if you're doing that, so be it. Like, it's leading you to something bigger, hopefully. And if it takes one person to join, then it's worth it. I was going to say, so Tally's a phone, is it going to be an app, or are we looking at expansion, or is it just stick to the phone calls for now?
So it's going to be an app very soon, which we're crowdfunding for. Please check us out. I don't know how to, the best way to get the link out there, but it's natwestbackerbusiness.co.uk/tallyapp.
Yeah.
We're trying to build a secure platform, basically, that would allow both the one-on-one calls. So our business model is to have one-on-one calls where you can call in and speak to somebody. You know, we pay you up based on experience. So if you're going through, for example, you've just had a fight with your partner, you're going through relationship issues, you wanted to speak to somebody, you can speak to a listener, basically, who's also been through similar life situation as you're going through right now. And it just means that they can empathize more, you can be really listened to, and also although we don't do any advice, they can share their experience if you wanted them to share with you.
No, that's really cool. And just as a disclaimer, is this more counseling, or it's not like obviously therapy, but it's more like
it's peer to peer support. So, for example, anyone could become a listener as well, but you'd have to take our training. So it's basically peer-to-peer support. So I wouldn't call it like therapy, or you can call it peer-to-peer counseling. So it's basically just having someone that can listen to you and empathize with you, someone you can vent to, basically, that understands what it means to be in your shoes. Because sometimes it's difficult, like finding like a, sometimes your reference group can't relate, right? And sometimes you don't want to talk about things just because fear of judgment, fear that you've overflogged the issue, or just you just know, you know, other people around me, I can't even get into it. Or sometimes you want to talk about something, but you never want it to come back again. You just want to talk about what's on your mind and that's it. But then if you talk about it to your friends, they're going to come back and say, oh, remember when you said that? So you don't get any of that with, you know, with our listening service.
And I like the idea of it being confidential. You don't have to bring your name up if you don't.
No, it's anonymous. I mean, we basically push the anonymity as something that's quite key to our brand.
And that's amazing. And obviously with data security, you don't want it all out there, which is obviously something focused on. Really cool. So with the whole fundraiser, that's with NatRest, how was that in terms of getting application and obviously trying to earn crowdfund?
Well, in terms of starting it, it was kind of a weird process. So we're looking at different funding options, because we'd be meeting with a few different companies about obviously building our secure platform. And I know my brother like brought up the issue of, oh, we should try this NatWest thing. And I thought, no, there's no way I'm going to beg people to give me money to do this. How annoying. I just thought, no. But then I kind of sat on it and I was like, okay, we're going to do this. And I kept saying to the team, we're going to do this. And then we just started, basically, started doing the write-up, and then everything kind of came together. I think I just made a list and like found someone to do the video, found someone actually it was just the video. I did most of it, and then the team came together and like did the all write up, went through what I did at the end. And then we add like I had an interview, a very short interview with NatWest to kind of like certify that, okay, this is good. And they were very, it was the lady from Crowdfunder. So the NatWest backup business is also through like Crowdfunder. And so the lady from Crowdfunder was very nice, and she kind of supported me with questions and like phone calls and meetings and stuff like that. So you get a bit of support through it. And at the end of it, when we raise the £15,000, NatWest will back us up with up to £5,000 if we have 100 unique supporters. Okay. So this is why we need to raise the money. And also, if we don't meet our target of £15,000, we don't get the money. The money goes back to everyone. So I think we're going to have to meet it. I don't know how, but we are getting there. We're getting there.
And I think this is a good time, obviously, to sell it. And you've obviously chosen this platform, so I'm very grateful. And obviously, I want to help contribute as much as I can, because I'd like to see your dreams come true in that sense. You know,
you've worked hard. Thank you very much.
But I know we're probably running out of time, but I just wanted to sort of wrap it up. If there was like one good advice you can give someone who's listening in, who's probably trying to do something similar to what you are, what would it be?
It'll be like, just do it. Like, just start now. Perfection is unattainable. It's not going to be perfect, right? You're still going to make mistakes, and you're still going to have those spelling errors, like, in everything, right? Just do it. Just start.
Yeah.
Start it now. Don't even wait.
It's funny, because you think you have all the time in the world.
Also, perfection is a beast. I always say this. Perfection is a beast. Like, the moment you start thinking too much about perfection, you're never going to start it, because it's just going to eat up your dreams. So just start it as put together it might be right now. Start it from your reference group.
And the cool thing about, obviously, just get started, you learn along the way. And then what you thought was perfect back then, it's nowhere near perfect today. So
definitely. I mean, the concept of having the talks, even like Tally Talk, I started in back in 2018 January. So I didn't know it was going to turn into like a full-fledged like startup. I just started doing it with women, and I just used to put on this conference call on Saturday mornings and get people to come and talk about weird topics. And then it actually gained a bit of following, but then I stopped it because I started with my sister, my friend in, and then I just picked it up again. Yeah. So just start it. That's actually the best advice I can give you.
And you know what, I'm gonna give you some sort of props here. Like obviously you started, you've obviously gone out, got a team, the team's happy, you're giving a good service to other people who need it. And now you're hopefully getting some fundraising money to help build the platform even bigger. So it just shows that momentum is there. And if you didn't start and you thought about the perfection of it, nothing would have been happening. And everyone's life would be different if you think about it.
Because when I initially had the idea in 2016, right? I remember I told somebody, and that time I wasn't working in tech. So the idea was kind of just far off. I remember telling somebody and they just thought, or they said to me that, oh, that seems very far-fetched, and I just didn't do anything about it. But that's why if I just started it, if I just even started by getting a group together from 2016 and talking in the peer, like it would have been something. It would have been a lot of time that I didn't waste. So
there you go.
But
I was gonna say your timing's been perfect anyways. Like especially with lockdown, people needed someone to talk to, and I guess
I don't know that. Well, that's definitely not. We tried starting since last year, so this just literally fell into the right time. It was like we're in the right spot, right opportunity, and I think it's law of attraction again. Like literally,
tough timing, law of attraction, all of that. It's just
I know everything just like falling into place.
No, I like that, and it's a positive story too. So you know. Have and you know so much going on around the world, at least it's a little bit of hope. Obviously join a call at 11 o'clock on a Saturday and just you know get yourself out there to sort of be vulnerable, because if I was to sort of just move away from you know the element of the telling, just in terms of people being vulnerable, just it's one of those things, especially for men, it's not necessarily a thing where it's like, oh yeah, good for you for being vulnerable. It's always been like, oh, you know, that's stupid, like go and sort yourself out in the corner. Now that you have a platform to sort of have that, it's pretty cool as well. So
it's pretty cool. And we want more men to like engage with what we're doing at Tally as well. When we were like brainstorming the idea, especially at like Techstars weekend, where we worked on the idea rigorously. Initially we wanted to do it just for women, because I started something, I said in 2018, where it was a forum for women, and it just felt like okay, that would work. But then when we started, like even our first event, because we thought we'll just market it for like, you know, when you have marketing that really suggests it's for women. And then off of the crowd were men that showed up, and I just thought, a lot of men need this, and I don't feel comfortable enough to say, oh, sorry, guys, it's just for women. I just thought, even my team, we have three guys on the team, and we have, like, at the moment, we have, like, four or five girls in front, ladies, aside from myself. And so I just felt like we can't just do something that's just for women. There's a lot for women. Women speak a lot. We need to be inclusive, gender inclusive as well. We just thought we would include everyone, because everyone needs this. But our mandate is about making mental wellness cool again. So
that's it. And you know, I'm happy to be part of the journey where I can, and being part of this podcast is pretty cool. So
get involved. Thank you so much
for letting me
do this.
No, it's awesome. Just final thing, where can people follow you?
Oh, so you can follow Tally at Tally App on Instagram, and you can follow me at I Am Laura Cena. So it's LARACENA, I Am Laura Cena, at Instagram as well. And if you want to follow me on LinkedIn, same place, find me on LinkedIn.
All right, then. So thanks for being on the call, and I do appreciate you obviously sharing your advice, because so many people need it, and obviously inside, and look, you're doing it.
Yeah, guys, get in contact if you have any questions. I'm happy to, like, you know, put you in the right direction.
All right, awesome. I'm going to wrap up the podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. All right, take care. Hey, podcast listeners, thanks for listening, and thanks for my special guest, and thanks for clicking that play button. But I need you to do four things for me. I want you to like, comment, subscribe, and share this content. It will help tremendously with the growth of this podcast, and I'm producing more content than ever. So I want you guys to be the first to know, and I want others to know as well. So do those four things for me and help this podcast grow to a bigger platform. Thanks for listening.